Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback, episode number 349. As this week, we bring you the third hour of the NWA Crockett Cup 1986. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. I am joined, as always, by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, the effing king of recovery, Jim Valley. Jim, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, head back to New Orleans, snack on danger, and dine on death?
I'm ready for some blood and guts. Oh, wait. Absolutely. That was last Wednesday.
It was. Yeah, so, and I'm guessing you had a good time down in Jacksonville for that?
Had a lot of fun. We can talk about that later, though.
We probably can, because we have a full hour of entertainment and wrestling ahead of us, mostly the wrestling. If you missed us last week, we are down to the quarterfinals of the Crockett Cup, so only 8 teams left, and we'll go over them in a bit. I do want to point out that this is the part where we go over the critical reviews of the shows, and this is worth noting. There is a match this hour that got a 5-star review from Dave Meltzer and the Wrestling Observer. So I will of course leave the listeners to figure out which one of the matches it is. But by the end of this hour, we will be down to 4 teams or fewer, let's say, in the Cup.
Was it Giant Baba against Bulldog Bob Brown at WrestleMania?
No, that was not it. No. I can tell you what the other 5-star match of 1986 was. It's a show we haven't done yet, but we were talking about doing. Ric Flair and Barry Windham at Battle of the Belts 2.
That's a great match. That's a great show.
It is. So there's two 5-star matches in 1986. Well, actually, there's three. I take that back. There's a third one in All Japan. So there's one in All Japan. There's the Ric Flair match, which takes place on a Florida show. And there's this match, which takes place on basically a show that's promoted by Mid-South, even though it's got Crockett all over it. So just very interesting. All right. Also thanks to the good people of Ireland and Canada, giving us nice bumps up the chart. And I don't know what this means, Jim, but the last two times we had really big, you know, boosts in our listenership in Ireland, there were weeks where we featured the Rock and Roll Express.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go.
I that's the explanation I came up with.
I can't think of a better one.
I mean, it could be because we had Joe Feeney on, but probably the Rock and Roll Express. I don't know.
You never know.
And I want to thank Josephine for filling in for Jim last week. Very, very helpful, and we had some fun there. And we are back inside the very tranquil McNeil Command Center. Here we're going to tell you about a very special place, and that place is our patron at patreon.com/waybackplayback. Now, you're probably asking yourself, Pat, aren't the shows free? And the answer is yes. Episodes we put out on Sunday are free to the general public. In fact, we have over 150 episodes available for free on our podcast feed. However, if you would like to support the show, and if you would like the entirety of our archives, you can always go to patreon.com/waybackplayback. There, for as little as $4.50 a month, you can get access to all of our shows, including the shows from the first 3.5 years that were behind the paywall previously. You can get access to those. You can get access to our shows in advance of when they go up on the podcast feed. And you can also get the version of our shows that comes without the commercial messages, including this commercial message that you are listening to right now. And yes, this does help support myself and Jim Valley. But you can also support Jim by going to GoFundMe.com/Jim-Valley-Fundraiser. And helping Jim and Carrie with the medical bills that they amassed in the 4 months that Jim was in intensive care. That's also helpful. But patreon.com/waybackplayback, you'll get all the episodes. You'll get them. You'll get the new ones ad-free and in advance. And you'll also get the bonus material, which we put together every couple of weeks. We try to do something special for the nice people in the Black Scorpion tier on Patreon. That's our $10 tier. And you'll get some of that material as time goes on, but the people on the Black Scorpion tier will get it several months in advance of the people on the $4.50 tier. So if you have money burning a hole in your pocket after the reduction in the cost of the WWE Network, and you have, I don't know, 190 spare hours that you don't know what to do with, definitely sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback, patreon.com/waybackplayback, and thank you for listening. All right, let's go ahead and hit this. We are at 2 hours, 5 minutes, and 41 seconds at a natural stopping point here on the show. And I have a black screen. Jim?
Correct.
Okay, and we're gonna comment, we're going to talk, we're just going to have our normal conversation. Everybody hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Already in the ring.
Yes. The first of the quarterfinals, a young Bruce Pritchard is yelling at us.
Yes.
God, is he yelling at us.
Yes, he is.
Jesus.
He's got some pipes, you got to say.
Goodness
Whatever else
gracious.
To say about him, he's got some pipes.
Does he know he's on a microphone?
Does he need a microphone?
Holy cow.
It feels like he's trying to sound like Trucker Tom Miller, who did the ring announcer.
I don't know what he's trying to sound like.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine, though. I guess if the mic goes out, you know, people will still be able to hear him, so.
Yeah, sheesh.
There
people
they are.
People here in Pensacola.
Road Warriors, Midnight Express. All right. Okay, the good guy's wearing black, the bad guy's wearing blue, and a white sport coat for Jim Cornette, which makes you wonder if he's about to be busted open. Lacerated.
His classic red pants.
That's right. Doesn't get much better than that.
No.
Of course, the problem is if Cornette had debuted like 30 years later in NXT, his name would be Red Pants.
It's true.
Yeah. Unavoidable.
Or maybe LeVar Bates.
Hey, there we go. That'd be good. By the way, patreon.com/waybackplayback for all the archives, including our great coverage of Wrestle Bowl. That was another classic show. One of the advantages of waiting for Peacock to stock up is we can probably get to a few of these classic shows that we've missed in the, you know, past almost 7 years now. All right. And looks like Condry's going to start us off.
Yeah.
Hey, there we go. Big hug. Manly hug. And Road Warrior Animal is the opponent.
Yeah, Road Warrior Animal, of course, passed away last year.
Yes.
Last September when I was in the hospital, and my wife told me that she told me that he died, but for some reason it didn't register. I don't know. Maybe my consciousness. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I was listening to a podcast with my other partner, Fumi Saito and Sean Waltman, and they were talking about the Road Warriors. And toward the end, the way they were referring to Animal Joe, it's like then they mentioned that he passed away. I was like, oh my gosh. And it really hit me hard.
Yeah, this
Road Warrior Animal's death.
That was rough last year. Plus, you know, as you know, we're on Creative Control Network, and Animal's podcast was hosted by Joe Roderick, was on Creative Control Network, and one of the big shows. And still the archives are still up. You can still listen to Animal. Yeah.
God, you can see how. I mean, Animal's probably like my favorite wrestler growing up.
Yeah,
like, just because he looks so cool. Look how cool he looked.
And I mean, and look at all the trouble you had to go to beat those guys on WrestleFest for one thing.
Right.
I know. I mean, it was never easy.
No. That power slam was awesome.
Yes. All right, Cornette calls his first time out. Okay, and they don't have matching. They don't even have matching trunks here. Early Midnight Express. I mean, they got the red and the blue, but you know, this is a tournament. They're probably changing gear. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. There we go.
Condry and Eden, they didn't match gear a lot.
Yeah.
You know, Condry didn't expect that. That was a shock.
Right. They obviously mesh together very well. And
yeah.
Here we go. Oh, perfect.
I mean, the Midnight's doing everything to sell for the Road Warriors right now.
Mm-hmm. And they're Road Warriors love teams that made them look good, and here you go.
We talked about that before when the Road Warriors supposed to drop the Tusk of the Fabulous ones. Road Warrior Animal told me that they just didn't think that the Fabulous ones bumped around enough for them. And they didn't want to lose to them.
And I mean, it should be a very similar act, the Fabulous ones as heels should be a very similar act to the Midnight Express, especially when you consider Stan Lane's in there, but yeah. Oh, wow. Are we going to no sell the pile driver? Sort of.
Yeah, to a degree, yeah.
To a degree, but yeah. He tags Bobby, and Bobby's like, yeah, no thanks.
I had that Superstars of Wrestling game growing up where you'd roll the dice,
right,
and you had the playing cards, and you'd have different moves depending on the dice you rolled. And in my game, the Road Warriors, they controlled like the world title, sort of like the Four Horsemen did,
right,
where it's like you had the title on one of them, and the other guy would interfere in matches and save the title.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, you could have used the Road Warriors that way.
I mean, they were big enough stars, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And who knows? Maybe Dusty had a long-term plan for after turning the Road Warriors heel and at the end of '88, but we didn't get to find out.
Yeah, who knows?
Oh, here we go. And over the top rope, very nice. That's Bobby. Bobby Eaton's just absolutely selfless here.
Yeah. Oh, they're in a Bill Watts territory.
Yeah.
So there's no mats.
That's right. We don't have those pretty blue mats outside the ring.
No.
Yeah, but I mean they've done it before, you know. There weren't any pretty blue mats the last time they worked the Superdome, so. Plus you've heard the old line, if you know how to bump, you should be able to, take a fall in a tile floor in the men's room and not hurt yourself.
True story.
I'm not trying it though.
Buddy Rose and Roddy Piper, I think it was Buddy, would take bumps on grocery store floors and Roddy would be the witness. And
you'd think the people would have seen him on TV, but yeah.
Well, no, I mean, if the good guy's sticking up for the bad guy, it must be true.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, Buddy would do that.
Wrestlers. Yeah, the slip and fall the slip and fall in grocery store aisles. That bit continues in modern era. Okay, body slam. And here
we go. It's harder with cameras. I'd like to think it is, but.
It probably is. Oh, there we go. Rocket launcher. There we go. You not only no-sell the rocket launcher, you just catch them in midair.
Jeez. Hulk is so jacked.
Oh, yeah. Shoulder breaker. There we go.
This is peak Road Warriors here.
Yes. And here we go. It's up and there we go. Yep, nice launch on that one. And this is kind of the start of something because, you know, Starrcade 86, guess who faced each other in probably one of the big, I mean, definitely one of the big matches on the show. Some people might say it's the draw, the scaffold match.
Hey, it was the biggest Starrcade ever. As far as money, other than the, I guess, still probably Hogan Sting.
Yeah. Hogan Sting was a big deal, but. Then there's another show we can do, Starrcade 86.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's Condry. Yeah, they're adding WCW stuff on Peacock, so I don't know, just a matter of time. By the way, happy Backlash Day. Happy WrestleMania Backlash Day.
WrestleMania Backlash Day. Yes. All the matches of WrestleMania, but stuff you don't want too.
It's not all the matches of WrestleMania.
But
Backlash always was, you know, like, let's repeat the WrestleMania. Okay, so the tennis racket shot and then the DQ. That's the finish.
Surprisingly, I don't know, you'd think you'd want the Road Warriors to pin the champions, but okay.
Well, I guess not.
I guess not.
There's the one Midnight Express fan who's like, yeah, all right, you show them. Okay, so yes. So they're in the semifinals, folks. Paul Ellering and his Road Warriors. To the surprise of, I'm guessing, nobody.
You know, you never knew.
Right.
The Road Warriors, you know, in the fans' minds, should have been champions already. So it's like, the way the NWA booked with, you know, all this goofy over-the-top rope finishes and stuff. Right. It was like the Road Warriors could get screwed at any moment.
That's true. So, yeah, the fans really didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get to that second quarterfinal match, which is going to be interesting, given who we have in it. Yes. There they are, Steve Dr. Death Williams, terrific Terry Taylor, and the Russians, Uncle Ivan, Nikita Koloff. And Eddie Gilbert, of course, in that corner.
Did Nikita miss a spot on his forehead?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, God, what a terrible Russian.
Yeah.
Gorjenko, or whatever his name is.
Yes. All right. Ted DiBiase injured, so... So this team, obviously, one of the hometown favorites here. Okay.
Now, this is pre-Red Rooster, yes. Terry Taylor, so he still has potential here.
Is he still being taken seriously? Yes. And he's had a couple of good matches with Ric Flair. I mean, not like Barry Windham-level matches, but, you know.
Yeah.
He's seen as somebody who could be a star. And this is Uncle Ivan, your former WWF champion. Which, meant a lot more then than it does now, probably. Given how many people, you know, given the number of people that held the title, that held the WWF title then compared to now. Yeah. Uncle Ivan making Terry look good.
I mean, to be the third WWF champion is impressive.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, there were very few the WWE champions at this point.
All right.
You know, you could count them on basically, well, to talk about how few there were on Bob Backlund's last belt and Hulk Hogan's first couple of belts. They listed all of the champions.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's not like, you know, I mean, now it'd be like, you know, when they have to add all these names to the Stanley Cup each year in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have to, you know, you'd have to make the belt bigger and bigger, but it was a huge honor. Especially, I mean, mostly more in the Northeast than here. I mean, everybody in pro wrestling knew who Ivan Koloff was.
Oh yeah, he was a huge star in the 70s.
Yep.
Huge star.
And Nikita's Cena is being well on his way.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you do. You take this green guy and you put him with a experienced veterans we can learn.
When Uncle Ivan got put with a lot of green guys. There we go.
But I mean, think about it. 1986, Nikita Koloff, what, has been in the business 2 years-ish?
Yeah, something like that. 84, and
yeah.
And he's in the middle of a huge program with Magnum TA, and after, and he's been, I want to say, I think it was 85 that they were feuding with the Road Warriors and the Bash. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that feud would continue for a while. Yeah, I mean, 86, the Russians are over.
Now, here's the difference between WWF production and NWA production. Mm-hmm. I'm going to point it out here in just 1 second.
Okay.
Yeah. When they do the other camera shot.
I see it. It's funny how you don't have the big light shining in your eyes in the WWF tapes.
No, you don't. That, you don't have the big light shining in your eyes. And then there's a dude that's like slouched down on this side of the ringside barrier.
Yeah.
He's that dude right there. That dude.
Yep.
That looks like, I don't know if he's security or what he is, right, but he looks like he could not give two craps to be there.
Right.
WWE would not have that guy on the camera side.
WWE will put Vladimir on the hard camera side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, or one of the other, you know, one of the other super fans, but not Mr. Mr. Arms Folded. No.
Yeah, I don't know. And Hacksaw Jim Duggan looks terrible.
Yeah. I can imagine, you know, the out of town wrestlers like, who's that? Oh, that's Fred.
Yeah, who's that guy?
Just no other explanation.
Who is that guy? And why is he there? What is he doing?
Well, I think he's got a cup and he's spitting sunflower seeds into it. I don't know what.
Are those official sunflower seeds?
Yeah.
I don't know what that guy's doing there.
Nope. I don't know.
Why does he need to be right there?
Yeah.
What?
That's not Eddie Gilbert, right? We're absolutely sure.
I don't know.
It's not like one of Eddie Gilbert's relatives or something.
Is that Doug Gilbert just sitting there?
Maybe.
Well, Eddie got Doug a lot of jobs. Well, if that's Eddie Gilbert, Eddie would be paying more attention.
Yeah, you're right. He would.
More animated.
Does Bill Watts have any crazy relatives that he lets sit at ringside?
I don't know.
That's Uncle Glenn. We don't talk about him.
That's his wife. His wife's brother-in-law.
Yeah. All right. So we got Uncle Ivan taking the. They're not. Yeah. Nikita's not. Yeah. Nikita hasn't seen the ring.
No.
And we're gonna work over Uncle Ivan, and we're working over Uncle Ivan so much that. The wrestling fans are doubting that Doc and Terry are going over at this point.
Yeah, that's. I always hated this pattern of match.
Well, it's traditional, you know.
I never got the psychology of it either. I think the psychology.
These are our baby faces, and if they're going to lose, you know, you want to give them keep their heat, so they should get a lot of offense in.
To me, it says I controlled most of the match and couldn't get the job done.
Yeah.
I think it says just the opposite.
Right. Well, yeah, this is the way we've always done it. Is
Is that Toby Keith?
It could be. It might be Toby Keith's dad.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, the author of I Don't Love This Bar.
I love the bar, but these Superdome matches are boring.
I'm just waiting until Black Bart comes back out.
That's right.
All right, get him over. Ooh.
speaking of that, I watched Smokey and the Bandit today.
Oh, there you go. Was Black Bart in that?
No, but
yeah, that's a fantastic movie.
It is a fantastic movie. My wife had never seen it.
Really?
Yeah.
I had to show Adrian it several years ago. She hadn't seen it either.
Yeah, her parents loved
it. And has expressed no desire to see it again, by the way. Or to see Smokey and the Bandit 2, which is the same movie.
With an elephant.
Yes. Well, I forgot the elephant. That's right.
I was looking up Smokey and the Bandit. I didn't know this. It was the number 2 highest grossing movie of 1977. Behind Star Wars.
Yeah.
A New Hope.
Yes, that's pretty good.
That's insane.
Well, I mean, it's Burt Reynolds.
Well,
it's Burt Reynolds. It's Burt Reynolds in 1977.
Yeah. That movie cost like $5 million and made like $166 million.
Oh, it's Burt Reynolds and Jackie Gleason. I
mean, yeah.
Yeah.
And Jerry Reed.
And
a basset hound.
That's right. Hey, ref, he's pulling the hair. Yeah. There we go. All right.
Jeez. God, this is like such a weird match. Feels like
this is like a snuff film match, you know.
If you didn't know better, you'd swear that Doc and Terry Taylor were the heels.
Yeah. And that's kind of the psychology. Yeah, here we go. I'm going to break his fingers. Yeah. I mean, Dr. Death Steve Williams, one of the biggest, scariest guys in the business. And, you know.
By the way, just the other day was the 61st birthday of what would have been the 61st birthday of Steve Williams.
Well, that is a shame.
Very sad. Yeah. He died at like 48, 49.
Yeah.
Very sad.
There we go. And here he is. Nikita's in, and he's getting some cheers. But and there's Doc, yeah.
You know, had the UWF thing, Dusty played the patriotism angle like they did with, you know, Steve Williams and UWF. This could have been a feud in NWA.
Oh, it could have.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they weren't treating the UWF guys like much of anything. And, no. And I mean, Doc was getting treated better in Japan. So eventually it just, you know.
Made a lot more money.
Spent more and more time over there.
Yeah. Cool. He's the Triple Crown champion. That's true. A big deal.
For an American? Yeah, huge.
Yeah, for a gaijin, yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, you could see these two feuding over the United States title or something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, plus, I mean, they milked that lockup for all it was worth. And
yeah.
They've got the people. People want to see this.
People want to see who's stronger. Who's the power guy. Oh, yeah, Doc's strong. We know Nikita's strong, you know. Let's see if the American muscle can stop the Soviet Union.
I mean, they did a lot of this same, you know, this same thing with Steve Williams and Terry Gordy in '89 during that summer feud, and they eventually get in the war games and try to, you know, they're out there trying to one up each other.
Now this would have worked.
Yes, it would have.
Or when Nikita turned babyface. You do the Sergeant Slaughter thing, and you say, you know, Nikita, you're still a no good Russian to me, and
right.
I want to beat you up, and Steve Williams is the heel.
Right.
Whatever.
Yes. There he is. I mean, yeah, it's.
I don't know.
You know, it is kind of a shame that, you know, WCW and later WWF for a bunch of reasons missed the boat on Steve Williams, but you know, he had a tremendous career.
He did.
Okay. Now we're, yep. Yeah. Test of strength. I like it.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe the referee is Carl Fergie. Is that right? I think it's Jerry Lawler's cousin, Carl Fergie. I think. I don't know. I can't recognize him by sight every time.
No. Makes sense.
He was Bill Watt. He was Bill Watt's referee. Yep. I know that. I think that's who that is. Wow.
There we go. Up. Come on.
Oh, yeah, but the fans love this because, I mean,
yeah,
this is a UWF crowd, and Dr. Death is, you know, hometown favorite.
Is getting his hands. Yep, he is.
Not exactly, but you get the idea. He's been
right.
He's been around a long time in UWF.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. Is he going to tag? Is keep it going or tag out?
No, I think you can milk this while longer.
Yep.
Depending how much time they have to fill.
That's true. Plus, I, you know. They have some leeway. I mean, they have a lot of leeway. Yeah. Bill Watts isn't going to tell him how to work the match. I mean, he's not going to tell Ivan Koloff and Doc how to call a match.
Yeah. Have a call that's been wrestling a long time at this point.
There we go. Yeah, I mean, they're being smart with Nikita. You know, build the anticipation for him getting in the ring.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and have him get shown up and then have him and, yeah, then have Doc unable to get a clean shot at him. We've already hit the 15-minute mark.
Huh.
And since these are still 20-minute time limit matches, we're down to the final 5 minutes.
You know, you mentioned Night of the Skywalkers for Starrcade 86, and they had the TV title unification match in Starrcade 87 with Nikita and Terry Taylor.
Yeah.
A match nobody wanted to see.
Well,
not even that guy at ringside.
No. Yeah. Well, he definitely didn't want to see it.
Who is that guy?
That guy has a look on his face, and that looks like, I wish Jeff Jarrett were here. Oh, wait a minute. He's actually.
Is that Christian?
I don't know.
Was it Eddie Gilbert? I thought Eddie Gilbert was wearing something else.
Yeah, I thought so too, but wait, hold on. What's that? He's over there. Oh, he's calling.
I don't know.
Okay. I don't know. He went over there. He's sitting next to Shivani.
Who is that guy? Not that Terry Taylor's, especially in this 1986, Terry Taylor's a very suitable replacement. Yeah. But Ted DiBiase in this match,
all different.
That'd make it a dream match, really.
That would. And nothing, and it's nothing. Yeah, it's nothing against Terry Taylor, but he and Steve Williams had that chemistry. Yeah,
they were the established tag team.
Right. This would have been.
You know, they were great. Former Mid-South Tag Team Champs. They were teaming in All Japan. Made on 86, but right. Anyway, the point is, no, I think they had tours. I think they had tours in Japan. Anyway, anyway, the point is, right. This match would be epic if it was those four.
DiBiase, yeah.
Yeah, it's still very good with Terry Taylor, don't get me wrong.
Yes. Yeah, but again, different energy.
Yeah.
Okay, so Terry Taylor back in. 2 minutes remaining. Wow, this is going quickly. Oh. All right. And tagging Uncle Ivan for the finish. I don't know. Ivan's big and tough. No. If you want an idea of how good Ivan Koloff can be, go back to the winter of 88, where for some reason they decided Ivan Koloff needed to be a babyface.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you would think that'd be almost impossible, but.
And that's coming up on the end of his career too.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. There's Eddie Gilbert.
There's Eddie Gilbert.
And it's enough. There's Eddie Gilbert and that guy. So we know that they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Here we go. Reaching out. Touching me, touching you. All right, there we go. Nope, nope. Oh, the ref didn't see it. Oh, no. Bombs away. Oh. Nope. Terry Taylor kicks out. They could have made that the finish, but, you know, out of respect, they did not. Oh. Okay. Oh, here we go. And this. Oh. Yep, folks, I don't think so. Taylor fought, and he fought, and we have us a time limit draw. Which means, if I remember correctly, the Road Warriors advance to the finals of the Crockett Cup. I imagine at this point, you know, fans are, it's kind of a swerve because fans had to be thinking after the Road Warriors advance that the Russians are going to advance.
Yeah.
And they could have done it that way, but. This is a good story for whatever they wanted to do, having Doc and, you know, Terry Taylor take on an established team. Oh, and.
Well, I imagine they want to set something up with Eddie Gilbert and Gordienko or whatever the fake Russian's name is. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess they're all fake Russians, but.
Well, yeah.
Really fake Russian.
The incredibly fake Russian.
Yeah, the fake Russian that looks like a bushwhacker.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
It's Tijo Konski.
I think it's Lord Jonathan Boyd.
Okay.
Yeah, he's... God, I don't know what that is. Jeez. All right.
He's Russian adjacent. How about that?
Yeah.
Hey. Eddie Gilbert looking for all the world like a slightly older Johnny Fairplay. I mean, yeah. Okay.
And that guy's still in his chair, just looking around.
And you're like, huh? How about that?
Who's that?
I don't know.
WWE would never allow that.
No. Thanks, Eddie.
So there you go. So you set something up with the UWF guys, Eddie Gilbert and fake Russian number 274.
Yes. Okay. Eliminated. Oh, no. Well, you hate to see it.
You know, it's amazing. In 86, we're coming a few years away from the end of the Cold War, but yet somehow the Kremlin still keeps professional wrestlers to the United States.
Yeah, no, nobody told the Bureau of Professional Wrestling. The Ministry of the... Let's see, I don't know.
Yeah, bad guy wrestlers.
Yeah, the Ministry of Bad Guy Wrestlers. We're planning big trouble for Moose and Squirrel and Dr. Death. All right. Here we go. Actually, the Russian heels sort of continue. You've got you got Miro.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, he's Bulgarian.
Bulgarian, but yeah.
Close enough. Same energy. All right. Let's get Doc a little help after the beating he took.
Wow, that one lady dressed up for the matches.
Yeah.
Look at her.
Well, this is the Superdome. You don't just wear your...
Yeah.
You don't wear your, like, third string dress to the Superdome. Oh, yeah.
No, you wear your nicest trucker cap.
That's right.
Boy, if he keeps dressing like that, he's going to sit in the one seat up front.
Yep. All right, so here it is. This is one of the biggest matches that you can put on in the Superdome if you're the UWF. It's your UWF Tag Team Champions and their longtime rivals. Up next.
There it is.
Yes, kids, the Bushwhackers win a 5-star match.
Yeah, no, the Bushwhackers are a great team.
Just not as the Bushwhackers.
Well, I mean,
they could have been. Yeah, I mean,
it's not unlike Santino.
Right.
Santino is a real wrestler.
He can work.
But
yeah.
Like he says, he just did what his boss told him to do, and did it really well.
Right.
But I mean, the Bushwhackers have been wrestling like 20 years at this point.
Yeah.
So it's like they've been around. They're older at this point, so it's like. Yeah. Why not go to the WWE and, you know, eat tuna fish and lick
small children in the aisle?
Yeah.
Right? Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, God. I mean, and whoa, if you watch this guy.
Luke! Yay!
Seriously. You watch these guys, you'd never guess that they were, you know, who would have thought they could be comedy? I never would have thought that.
They were not comedy. They were dead serious. Right. The Fantastics at this point, they've been through the Fabulous Ones. They beat Arn and Tully. And now, you know. And now you're here. I mean. Okay. And this should also be the third match for the Sheep Herders. So. Let's see. Here we go. It's USA versus New Zealand.
The flag bearer is Jack Victory in this case.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so funny. The Bushwhackers, the Sheepherders, always had long hair. And they both lost hair matches to Roddy Piper in Portland and never grew their hair out again.
Mm.
They sort of had that Kurt Angle thing where you lose one hair match.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wow. The Pledge of Allegiance is great. So, apparently we've got another wrestling death.
Is there a New Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very sad.
Yes, it is. Oh, well. Okay, and down goes... All right, and the Fantastics have cleared the ring to start things off. They got their Fargo strut. Yep. There we go. The crazed look. And the eyes. Yep. So the sheep herders are ready.
Now, if you see the sheep herders, like, in Portland and stuff, and this match, you'll see, they take great bumps. Mm-hmm. They feed. They're great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've been doing this a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, WWE was, you know, they probably made the most money of their career, but it was kind of like a working retirement in some ways.
Right.
Because
yeah.
The matches were easier, but
the schedule
was harder.
They didn't want it, and they did not want Blood of Guts at the time. No.
Yeah, they didn't have to do any more blood. No. They didn't have to bleed anymore.
You go in, do the do the stomp, do the battering ram, you know.
Yeah.
Bite them on the buttocks. Yeah.
Do their five WWE ingredients.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's just a very stark difference.
Oh yeah. But I can imagine some people who only saw the Bushwhackers wouldn't know.
Right. Of course not.
But as we said before, you know, I think to a lot of people, wrestling started in like 87 with WrestleMania 3. And 1986 is kind of a blind spot for a lot of people. And there's some great stuff.
Yes, it is. And, you know, and Vince McMahon, you know, he encourages that sort of thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, you know, the Attitude Era, Vince was trying to pretend wrestling began in January of 98 with Austin winning the Rumble.
But like, yeah. You
know. Yeah.
Well, and for a lot of people, I mean, nostalgia is like a 20, 25 year window. And,
right.
You know, how far back? I mean, I have a working knowledge of wrestling history, but it's like, it's not like I've seen every piece of footage from like the 70s or every piece of footage from the 60s and 50s and stuff.
Right. And, you know, maybe they will get to that, you know, maybe the network will get to that portion of the vault, because there's just a whole bunch of, stuff from, you know, their 60s TV that has, you know, and 70s TV that we haven't seen, and you figure it's got to be somewhere. It might not be somewhere.
Well, and, you know, to be fair, some people would find this match or other matches boring, you know, because styles move on and evolve.
Yep.
You know, just like you'd watch something from the 30s and go, this is boring.
Right. Ooh. Well, you can find enough 50s and 60s stuff up on YouTube if you want to search for it.
So I was watching some Portland footage of the Sheepherders against, I think it was Piper and Martel, or maybe Piper and Johnny Mantel. Anyway, it was a tag team match. And oh my God, they did this spot where, like, Piper crawled through one of the Sheepherders' legs, came up on the other side, and nailed him. And then the other one of the Sheepherders tried to do that to Piper and got caught. And then Piper did it to them again. I mean, it was like a circus act.
Yeah, Jimmy Valiant did that spot in like every tag match he was in working for us.
Oh my God. It is a great spot.
It's a great spot.
Could probably work.
Yep. People eat it up if you do it well. Especially if you have if you do the tag team spot and you have the heel manager distracting everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, if the team is over, it would work. If the team isn't over, then no.
Okay. And there's Luke and Butch taking another crack at it. I mean, so, you know, I mean, the Bushwhacker, the Supers have gotten their licks in, but, you know, mostly the Fantastics have been sending, you know, have been clearing the ring every few minutes.
Yeah. Well, I told you a story. I saw a great match with Bobby Fulton and his sons against Ricky and Kerry Morton a couple of years ago at Charlotte Fan Fest.
Right.
And the Fultons come out and they're cheered. And, you know, Bobby Fulton looks older like we all do. And,
yeah.
You know, he's thanking the fans. And he gets on the microphone. He goes, you know, for 30 years, all I've heard is rock and roll. You know, don't cheer me. I know you like him better. You always have. And suddenly he's the heel.
Yes.
And he's got everybody chanting rock and roll. Right. It was so great.
Yeah.
It was so great.
I mean, nothing like doing the Tommy Smothers bit, you know.
Oh, my God, yeah. He's covering his ears, of course, because he doesn't want to hear you chant it.
Right. Okay, so, oh, he's been lacerated.
And I don't know if you know this, Pat, but when you do that, people tend to yell louder.
Yeah, they do.
I didn't know if you knew that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's no, actually
it explains a lot, because when I was a heel manager, I'd cover my ears and, you know, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You should probably stop doing that, because that's counterproductive.
Yeah, I guess so.
Little advice to you.
Okay, thanks. Well, I'm not going to be. Oh, yeah, there we go. So got a little bit of color, and now that they come back to him a minute or so later, yeah, that looks looking sharp.
These guys fought a lot.
Oh, yes.
In barbed wire matches, cage matches, barbed wire cage matches.
And and almost every time there was some juice going on.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Come on. You got him. Yeah, these people in that section are just USA, USA, USA. I mean, it's not a full, you know, stadium, but people are there into it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Okay. Time for the hot tag. No.
I mean, with the exception of Crockett and WWF, the Sheepherders won titles in every territory, I think, pretty much they were in. Mm-hmm. You know, in New Zealand, in Calgary, I mean, everywhere. In Australia, obviously the Northwest. You know, they were a very decorated tag team.
I mean, it's an act that they've worked on a long time at this point. It resonated, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they look visually, they look like they belong together.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess Bushwhacker Luke just wrestled a match the other week, which means like he's wrestled in like 7 decades now.
Yeah. Was it in Ring of Honor? Oh, no,
I think it was an indie show.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's fine.
I don't know. I forget where it was, but right. I read that he just wrestled like a 6-man or something. But yeah. Either way, I mean, he's one of the few people that can say they did that.
That's true. Not many.
I need to get him on the Portland WrestleCast.
Right. Oh, there he goes. Oh, and by the way, episode 350 is next week. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But
Oh gosh,
well that's a finish that they could do. You ran the other guy into the flagpole. This is just setting up the tag.
By the way, it's referee Tommy Gilbert, Eddie's dad.
Okay. Do you think Tommy Gilbert knows the guy who's sitting there at ringside?
I don't know. Could be. Is that Doug? Is the guy gone? Guy's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. Vanished.
Why is? Was that? That wasn't. I don't know what that was.
All right. He's biting him. He's punching him.
God, look at that. Look how gross the mat looks.
Oh, yeah.
God, you got to follow this? Ugh.
Yeah, well. Imagine having to follow that next week. Well, oh, there we go.
Damp wrestling mat.
Yes. I think like a blood-soaked mat to, spread the love. Yeah. Yeah, obviously, social distancing was not a big thing here, nor was masking, nor was cleaning the blood off the mat.
No.
Yep, well, we got action outside the ring. We have action inside the ring. We have Tommy Gilbert, who's not getting up from that bump anytime soon. And nobody knows what's going to happen. Oh, there's Jack Victory again. Oh, got him. Caught in the act. Oh, and cut off. Okay. So as Bobby Fulton takes a beating, up, we got action in the ring.
Dude, in his white outfit's like, don't get me dirty.
Yeah. Nope. Well, let's roll up the flag and let's go to work. And here we go. Oh, geez. All right. We appear to, referee's down. We appear to have lost track of, lost track of everything.
That's a great brawl.
Yes, it is. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Everybody's bleeding. Everybody's,
Tommy Rogers sick. Bleeding. Wow, Tommy. Ah. Even Tommy's bleeding.
Okay. Well, Tommy, you don't have to do that. Tommy, can you hear me? Tommy, can you hear me? I'm sorry. Oh, beautiful. Bobby Fulton. Beautiful there.
Yeah.
That's outstanding timing. Oh, there's the cops trying to keep people from getting it from jumping the rail.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now that's some heat, brother.
That is. Hey. All right, they got the flagpole. Oh, nope. Jack Victory's going
to
make it.
The ringside. This guy coming to ringside telling him not to do it.
Oh, there we go.
Don't do it. I don't know what he's doing.
No, why is he? Well, that guy's waving. I think they're trying to signal there's two refs there now. So. Yep. Yeah. Oh, they're calling for the bell. Oh.
It's Mad Maxine.
Mad Maxine's here.
Holy cow.
Come on.
You know, they have Florida reunions, and she started making Florida reunion appearances, and she wears like a, she's an older woman now, but she's still really tall, and she wears like a pink mohawk wig. It's great. I've seen pictures. I'm like, what a great sport of her to do that.
All right. All four. Both teams have been disqualified. So, yeah, they're both out of the tournament, which is probably good because they can go hit the showers.
Jeez, look at all that blood.
Yep. Another shot in on Tommy Gilbert. There we go. Oh, man.
Yeah, but this is great because did you see that big brawl in the Superdome?
Yeah.
A rematch of the big brawl at the Crockett Cup.
Right. It's coming. A lot of rematches of this are coming.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, your UWF tag team champions, they've had a good run in this tournament.
Yeah, you're such champions.
Yeah, and and it does set up the big rematch. All right. Add something to the arsenal here in Mad Maxine.
Yeah. She had a very short career. She's not around very long.
Yeah, they want to let the fight continue. Yep.
As I recall, and you're going to find this hard to believe, Maxine didn't like the way Moolah treated her.
Yeah, I'm shocked because, you know,
you Moolah, for what, yeah. You're stunned.
I know.
So, yeah, she didn't have a very long career.
No. Well, I mean, she just pops up, though, and, you know, saw her at the Battle of the Belts. Saw her here. Yep. All right, referee's trying to... Okay, let's get them out of here. Let's get the sheep herders out of here. And folks, there you go. That's Fantastics are standing tall.
Yeah.
Even though they're no longer in the tournament. So that means that the winner of the next match, which we'll talk about here in a second, is going to advance to face the Road Warriors in the finals. And now the Fantastics have just heard that both teams have been eliminated. Even though I'm pretty sure it was mentioned sooner. Come on. No. Yeah, Tommy Gilbert's like, please stop hitting me. Tremendous sales job.
Yeah, Tommy Gilbert wrestled under a Freddy Krueger mask. It's like Nightmare Freddy in Memphis. Mm-hmm. And you'd think it's a terrible idea, but he makes it work.
Right.
It actually works well.
Well, Memphis was the place. Funny. Yeah, Memphis had great ideas and terrible ideas.
Yeah. It's simultaneously both.
It was the closest thing to Raw, basically.
Yeah.
Because they had
It's sports entertainment.
It is very much sports entertainment. All right, I think we're going to have to draw this to a halt here. Before we get to the final quarterfinal match. Matter of fact, this is a good place to call it a day at 3 hours, 2 minutes, and 4 seconds. Wow. So
bored of wrestling podcasts, but still want a little bit of wrestling talk? Well, It's Usually Hello is the show for you. We've got music debates, we've got comedy bits, we have some wrestling talk, we've got watch-alongs. We've got actual celebrity guests. Check out It's Usually Hello, the podcast, on YouTube and on iTunes and all your best podcast and listening devices. It is, without a doubt, the funniest show in the history of podcasting, allegedly. And that's not just my opinion. That's also the fake opinions of the fantasy people that I see 24/7. Don't forget to leave the 5-star review because there's only so many fake accounts one person can make.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lormet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, MUSIQUE-EPIQUE.com.
When we return, next week, episode 350, the winners go to the finals. It is Magnum TA and Ronnie Garvin against Giant Baba and Tiger Mask.
Wow.
That's pretty huge. Yeah,
that's all Miss Sal, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. Plus, Jim Duggan defends the UWF title against Dick Slater, no DQ. Plus Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes and the finals of the Crockett Cup. So that's episode 350. You're not going to get, we can't do much better than that, I don't think.
You can't do any better than that.
Nope. Let's see. And then we have, then we can worry about what's coming, then we can worry about the push to our 7th anniversary show, which I'm sure we'll get some more interesting stuff on here. And let's see, the normal stuff. I am online. I'm on Twitter at RealPatMcNeil. Jim is at Jim Valley, by the way. And
that's right.
Yes. And, if you can, feel free to leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us over on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or it doesn't matter, wherever your pods are cast, we are there.
We're there.
And we thank you for keeping us there and keeping us, as relevant as we can be here in 2021. And of course, before I forget, if you'd like to know more, about the Sheep Herders, the Fantastics, the Road Warriors, the Midnight Express, or Ivan and Nikita Koloff, feel free to visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or the Wrestling Observer. Or you can check out your local library app where they're all in books. Jim?
Hey, we'll see the finals of the Crockett Cup and the semifinals. It's pretty cool stuff. So one of the legendary cards of 1986. And I would say when it comes to all of the talent, I think one of the legendary cards of all time. So same way back time, same playback channel.
Yes, all that and a bunch more, this is fun. We're back. Jim is back. We're getting through 1986. We might have to do some more 80s stuff. I don't know, but it's going to be up to your vote. We'll have to do the vote next week too, Jim.
That's right. That means we're open to selections, suggestions.
Oh. Yes, that too. All right, and facebook.com/waybackplaybackpodcast, obviously patreon.com/waybackplayback, and we're everywhere, and we're going to keep being everywhere, and we owe it all to you people. You're wonderful. So until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.